This Pardes Life is an original podcast production from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, please visit www.elmad.pardes.org. elmad.pardes.org.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this episode of This Pardes Life. This is David Levenkris speaking. Whenever I teach Jewish philosophy, I feel as if I'm introducing my students to these different philosophers who are actually my friends. So today it's really fun for me to be speaking to somebody who really is a friend of mine, and we're going to have a nice little chat, and you're going to listen, and I hope that it's going to be really, really interesting for you. So welcome, a very, very warm welcome to Rav Dr. Mish Hamakasoy, who is with us today to speak about her life, what she's passionate about, her interests, what she's achieved, Pardes, and all that. Hi, Mish.
Hi, Rav David Levenkris. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Let's get straight down to business. For many, many people, they think of Pardes and they think of Mish, and the two are almost intertwined with each other. But I'd love you to share a little bit about your life before Pardes. And I'm going to make it a little harder for you. I'm going to ask you to think of three snapshots, three photos or three selfies, or call it what you will, that you think of in your pre-Pardes days that really brought you to where you are today.
You know, I was born in Silver Spring, Maryland. When we were in fifth grade, my parents decided to move to Fairfax, Virginia, where I was literally the only Jew in my class. My parent, the first boy I brought home's name was Christian. Mamish. His name was Christian. My parents went into a panic. They didn't really want to be Jewish, but they definitely wanted to hand it down to their children and be done with it. And they went into a tizzy and sent me to USY. I think that would be my first snapshot, because I think this decision that they made to push me towards Jewish youth groups after moving to a place where there was truly no one Jewish was life-shaping. I think if I had to pick a second one, I like to talk about him a lot. Steve Kaplan. I was super involved in USY. USY, really, I have so much to... Whoopee! Rabbi Paul Friedman! I just want to call out to Rabbi Paul Friedman, who has really changed my life. But also Steve Kaplan, who was the teacher of my USY encampment going into 10th grade. And this, believe it or not, they used to make us have, I don't know if they still do this, they used to make us have study sessions every day for an hour. And the theme, believe it or not, was conservative Judaism. And believe it or not, we got to take a vote. How many people think Shabbos is part of being a conservative Jew? And I voted no. I voted that Shabbos is something very nice to do when you're at encampment. But when I'm at home, Shabbos for me is having lunch with my grandparents and then going to the shopping mall with my grandparents. And this Steve Kaplan, who I haven't seen in 30 years, challenged me to keep Shabbat. I think it just changed the entirety. I don't think you can thank someone enough for it, really. Changed the entirety of our entire family. That I came home and said to my parents, amazing about my parents, I came home and said, I think I'd like to try Shabbos. And my mom said, sure, dear, that sounds great. And we just, the whole family came together. That's thanks to Steve Kaplan. And then the next, if I had to pick my next snapshot, with anxiety, because we have three snapshots, that's crazy. The third would be, I think, when I went to Brandeis, I had already been involved in the conservative movement, and I was, back then, the theme of the conservative movement was halacha with change. And I really believed in halacha with change, but the only minyan was Orthodox. I was going to the Orthodox minyan every day, and I really wasn't feminist at all. In fact, my daughter did much more at her bat mitzvah than I did in her Orthodox shul than I did in my conservative shul, because it wasn't, the egalitarianism was not sine qua non with the conservative movement at that time. So there I was sitting on the other side of the mechitza, and the first guy who walked over to the other side of the mechitza to greet me in the morning, I wanted to marry him for about 2 years. And I think that for me was the discovery of feminism, not just Orthodox feminism, but also feminism. What does it mean to sit on the other side of the sit on the other side of the mechitza and to be excluded. And somehow all of those things came together to create a passion for Judaism and to bring me to this blessed building.
Thank you, Mish. As you're speaking, I wasn't only listening to what you were saying, but also how you were saying it, especially your shout out to Rabbi Paul Freeman, who you're getting one from me too, Paul, especially your shout out and your enthusiasm. You're involved in so many things, social justice, expanding roles for women, political things, teaching, working with students, accepting students, attracting students to Pardes. And I happen to sit to work in the office that's next to a classroom that you always teach. And I love hearing your enthusiasm or your laughter, whatever is going. How do you maintain this passion? How do you keep, what keeps you going?
I love to tell the story of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Bo Bayom, the day that he was appointed to be the head of the Beit Midrash. There wasn't a question that didn't get answered that day. And the reason why there was no question that didn't get answered that day was because the enthusiasm in the classroom was contagious, meaning everything that I'm teaching is just, if the class isn't good, it's the student's fault. If the class is good, it's also the student's fault. It's all just the energy that's coming from the students. I think that is absolutely true. But I can say for sure, and maybe this is the same thing, when I was writing my dissertation, I would spend the whole day writing my dissertation, and I was not empowered and charged and excited. And then I would walk out of the classroom of teaching, and I felt full of energy and excited. So I know that there's a certain, maybe I guess that same energy that I get from the students, but a real passion, passion for what I do. And I think I also really believe in the, I really do believe in the transformative nature of Torah. I believe that learning Torah challenges us to ask bigger questions and better questions and be our best self. And I love the encounter with text, and I think I get a tremendous joy from teaching that.
Fascinating. Mish and I know each other well, but I actually didn't, I guess I've never been brave enough to ask you that question, and it really was an interesting answer that the that you work off the enthusiasm of your students. You're very involved in Pardes with students, both in terms of accepting them to the program, of being a mechanech, an advisor to them once they are here, and just interacting with them. I'm interested in how your encounter with Pardes students has broadened you, expanded your perspectives, what you've gained from your years of encounter with Pardes students.
I think it's kind of funny. Sometimes I think it's funny when I have students that after we've been in the same room, in the same Beit Midrash for 2 years or 3 years even, still remember the letter that I wrote to them when they were accepted to Pardes. And the first thing that comes to my mind about how the students have influenced me is their essays, which is kind of crazy. But there's something that's really, I'm the director of admissions, and the what I experience truly as a schut, a real privilege to read their essays and respond to their essays, has had a huge impact on me. The first, the top thing is to always say right up front, my parents influenced me the most. The third question of the third of the three essays is, what are the major influences on your life? And I probably read 100 essays a year about parents, and probably in 80 of them, people apologize that their parents, like, it's trite to say your parents influenced you, and it is never trite to say your mom and dad influenced you. Every parent influences in their own way, and the appreciation for the parents is, first of all, not always easy to do and so important. And it's so obvious that my parents influenced me so much, but just to have that affirmed that my mom and dad are coming today. I'm so excited in just a few hours to get my arms around them. To start with that, from reading those essays, I also have gotten an incredible bookshelf. Lots of times I have like a little place where I just write down the books that they write about that influence them the most, and then I purchase them and read them and respond to other people about those books. The Pachad Yitzchak, who I like very much, writes about one of my favorite Mishnah, which is the end of the fourth parak of Sanhedrin, which talks about the individuality of the why lama nivra adam yichidi. Why is a person created as a singular individual? And the Pachad Yitzchak there's a number of answers there. The Pachad Yitzchak calls out this point that the singleness of the human creation is both about the unity of them and also their uniqueness, both of them at the same time, which is amazing that you can have something that's both about the unique, every individual is their own world, totally unique and their own person. That's one message. And the other message from the same creation of human beings as an individual is that we all have the same parent and therefore we are all united. And those two things coming together, I mean, the Pachad Yitzchak said it first, and it's so beautiful, but I think that every day is a rediscovering of that deep truth with my students, this sort of sense that there's certain common passions that we share, a passion for the influence of our mother, or a passion for Jewish community, or a passion for Torah, and each one of us takes it in a totally different direction that is truly inspiring and keys me in. But really, I don't mean this to be trite. It really keys me in to the greatness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It really does.
You speak about tapping in to the greatness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. You speak about tapping into the greatness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, of the Holy One. I'm interested in how things that you've done with your life recently were influenced by your relationship with God and with the everlasting. Recently, it's been very, very interesting because you were one of two women, along with Rachel Berkowitz, also of Pardes, who got Orthodox Smicha. I'm interested in how that came, how that is connected to your relationship with God.
Rekeying in all the time. I don't think that I've been studying Rav Herzl Hefter, who ordained me, said, I'm ordaining you on the basis of these four exams and 20 years of Jewish education. And for the four exams, I learned halakha. Halakha, it's complex, the relationship between the halakha and connection to godliness. In the hour before we study the halakha, Rav Hefter gives a shiur on the Meishiloch, on the Ishbitzer Rebbe, who a lot of times the moral of the story is the halakha doesn't really get us to God. But I have found, I'm kind of shocked actually by the meaning, by the silliness of the title, which wasn't something that I thought to seek out over the last 20 years. Quite the opposite. I knew when I moved from the conservative movement to the Orthodox movement that I was giving up a dream of being a rabbi, and it's totally fine. And I'm still totally tickled. I can't stop laughing, actually, because everyone knows that a woman can't be a rabbi. But so I wasn't seeking out to be a rabbi. And I've kind of thought that I sort of managed to be a rabbi without being a rabbi. You and I have been, one of the things that's beautiful about working in this institution is there actually is no discrimination by gender here, and that I have felt totally honored as Mish Hammer Kassoy in the same way as I feel honored as Rav Mish Hammer Kassoy. And I didn't think I needed the title, and I've been so shocked, really shocked, by how many of my Pardes students are really excited about the title and have said, now you can be my Rav. Ma, I wasn't your rabbi until this moment. I'm totally befuddled by it. But I think that I also have been pushed in some powerful ways to sort of think, well, if I've taken this upon myself to be called a rabbi, that it gives me something, a responsibility on my shoulders that forces me to keep working to connect with God in more powerful ways that wasn't obvious to me. I mean, of course, we always need that. That's one of the great things about teaching at Pardes in general, I think, is that my students keep me honest and force me to constantly be finding truth and push for deeper. But being called rabbi has also make me try to earn and be worthy of that title.
Thank you. I have to admit that I'm also one of those people. I didn't think before you became a rabbi that it would make any difference, that I would have any difference in my relationship to you or how I value your halachic learning or other learning. But I guess it's something that still is important to many of us. So yasher koach and mazel tov on that. And since we're talking about God, I'm interested also in your social justice work, how that is part of your relationship to God.
Oh, well, that's obvious. That's obvious, because I think, first of all, we talk a lot. You and I both taught Mishnah Brachot this year. One of the themes of Mishnah Brachot that comes up again and again is that part of our connection with God comes through our connection with our fellow individual. We can interrupt Shema to meet, to greet the person in front of us, because the greeting of the person in front of us is a manifestation of God. So my working with individuals and trying to help people is about me recognizing the godliness in them. If we had to pick amongst the most important Jewish sources, Hu Rachum V'Chanun, Afatza Rachum V'Chanun, that we're trying constantly to imitate God and to emulate God's midot in the world, his God's characteristics. And I see that work of social justice work as the primary goal of Jewish tradition and of helping me emulate God constantly.
So far, it's just the beginning. This is just the appetizer. I'm looking forward to you doing many, many exciting and interesting things in the years ahead. Do you feel like dreaming a little bit with us and talking about things that you still want to achieve? And since we seem to be speaking about God, how God might be intertwined and part of everything that you're hoping to do?
When you say that, I think of one of the manifestations in my life of God is my, I call her Aunt Frida. We're not related, but when I was on the Lower East Side, I visited weekly a homebound woman named Frida. And she always said, the man linked for the God, there's no point in making a plan because God's going to make it happen however it was. I hadn't planned on being a rabbi and it just fell into my lap. My goal, honestly, is just to serve God and the Jewish people however I possibly can in the most that I possibly can in my mission of being Mish. I feel torn, I say this as a Jewish woman, between my passions as for career, which are very significant, and I think in many ways more so than many of my peers. I work more hours than most of my girlfriends, and I feel very, very dedicated to my career and blessed to have a job that allows me to do that. I think that my dissertation and my career also in some ways I think gave my kids a vision of what's possible, but also I'm very happy to also be settled in my home and in my place and be grounded as I am. The truth is, if I just keep doing this for another 20 years, I'll be perfectly, perfectly happy. I won't think that anything's gone wrong.
Thank you, Mish.
This Pardes Life is an original podcast production from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, please visit www.elmad.pardes.org. ELMAD.pardes.org.